Buenos dias. Good morning to everybody. And above all, thank you for giving us the opportunity to carry out this briefing. I would particularly like to thank UNEP and the Secretariat for putting this together and for enabling us to have a short time together. I won't say to get to know each other, but yes, to have a common vision, a shared vision of what we hope and can achieve in Cartagena. As Katerina mentioned, for Colombia, it's a big effort to put this together because of the situation we've been having with two waves of floods. And I invite you all to bring umbrellas to Cartagena because we're expecting the third rainy season in more or less under a year to be starting up in sometime in mid-September, early October. But Cartagena's beautiful with or without rain, so worry not. It's actually sometimes nicer when it's raining. But do appreciate that this is a considerable effort for Colombia, but we're absolutely committed to this. As you, many of you may know, Colombia has a constitutional ban on the import of toxic wastes. So this is something that is very dear and near to our hearts. And we also share the concerns of countries that are vulnerable and want to prohibit waste and are not in a full capacity to do so. So we really understand and come from a place or a situation in which we want to see the Basel Convention move forward. But we want to see it move forward in a very pragmatic way. And the reason that Colombia has agreed or offered to host this COP is because we feel that this COP needs and should be a turning point for the convention. We want to build upon the really remarkable groundwork that was laid by the Indonesian presidency, and we want here to render homage to the very solid, sound, and constructive work that was laid. Anything we achieve in Cartagena will only be possible because of what Indonesia has already achieved and has already put on the table. And I think that that is something that we all need to acknowledge and to appreciate. So as incoming presidency, I think the most important is to acknowledge the work that was done by Indonesia. I think that where we are right now with the convention, it's a convention that needs to become more pragmatic if it's going to remain relevant. And in this sense, we see this bottleneck that has been holding back the convention for many years, over a decade, and that's that impasse over the ban. We have to realize that although the spirit and reason why Basel came into being is as valid today as it was several decades ago, the realities of the world have changed. We are in a situation in which, in many cases, wastes are being generated by developing countries, in which some developing countries might want to export or to have transboundary movements between themselves. We have to recognize the fact that although for some countries like my own, the ban amendment is the centerpiece of the Basel Convention, we also recognize that not all countries are going to sign on to the ban convention, to the ban amendment. And therefore, we need to also find a space and create a regime that provides for that environmentally and socially sound management of whatever waste of necessity has to be generated. And I want to emphasize those last words that I just said, of necessity. Because this brings us back to the theme of the COP and the reason that Colombia chose that theme. We're talking about reducing waste, we're talking about preventing waste, we're talking about minimizing waste. In no way, manner, or form should there be any kind of an incentive any kind of a tacit understanding that there should be an increase in the generation of waste. We must and should all make an effort to reduce, to minimize, and to prevent those wastes. And that is the theme, because for us, that is the linchpin of the way forward. But we also understand that some waste will, again, of necessity, need to be generated. and the ways that cannot be prevented, that cannot be avoided, that cannot be minimized. That waste needs to be managed in an environmentally and socially sound manner. And we think that that is the way forward, the strategic way forward for the convention, to find that balance, to enable the countries that want to ban to be able to do so, to provide particular support to vulnerable countries that need to have that kind of a support in order to effectively ban the import or the transboundary movement of waste. But for those countries that have a legitimate interest and the capacity, and by capacity we don't mean just one standalone facility, but really a capacity to monitor, to ensure that there really is broad, thorough, comprehensive EMS. For those countries, it should be possible for the convention to provide that regime, that EMS regime that makes this possible. A side kick, if you will, of this is resource efficiency, and it's something that we saw in the CSD. CSD was not a very, did not come to a fully satisfactory outcome, but the discussions within CSD on sustainable consumption and production patterns were very useful. And I think that despite the fact that there was not consensus at the end on a lot of the main issues, on the basic thrust, there was consensus. We all understand and agree on the need for resource efficiency. Another side benefit of this, if you will, is the fact that this is the way, an effective way to combat illegal traffic, illegal transboundary movement. So we think that this is very, very important. So we need to have the ban come into force. We need to have this amendment come into force sooner rather than later. And we need to put in place this regime. This, we think, is the balance. This, we think, is the a vision that will be long-term, that will take the Basel Convention forward, that will bring the Basel Convention fully into force in the 21st century and enable this really, how can I say it, an incredibly strategic international instrument. An instrument, moreover, that was really born out of a sense of commitment to addressing this issue from developing countries, and that needs to be taken forward in that spirit. So we think that this could be a win-win way forward. And in this sense, I want to assure all of you that Colombia stands, and the presidency of Colombia stands, fully behind the CLI initiative. And we recognize the incredible value added that it brings to the table, because this pragmatic way forward that I have outlined is really grounded in a very pragmatic way in the work that both Indonesia and Switzerland, together with many of you around the table, have undertaken. So we think that this is very important. So I want to just stop there a minute, because this is where I wanted to talk about sort of like the vision thing, if you will, of where Colombia would like to see this turning point take place. And we really call upon everybody to try to support us in this vision thing, to work with us in a very constructive way during the COP, so that at the end of the COP you can really feel that we've delivered on Basel. That's sort of part one, if you will. We also wanted to talk a little bit about the actual program of work and how we're going to be managing that. There is going to be a Colombian delegation. I will not be part of that Colombian delegation. There will be a very clear distinction between the presidency and the Colombian delegation. As president, we understand our function to be to find and to work with every single one of you to find a way forward and to find consensus. If there are contentious issues, we will make sure that there is time to discuss them. We will have plenaries, we will have contact groups, we will have informal consultations as needed. It is our commitment as presidency, and when I say our, it's because it's not me, it's a whole team working with me from many ministries in the Colombian government. This is a government, a national effort that we're bringing to the table, to work with you to find a way forward so that we can make this all successful. So that's one thing I wanted to really underline and emphasize. The presidency is your presidency. The second thing I wanted to address in terms of the program of work, and Katrina alluded to the contact groups, is that we have an incredibly ambitious agenda. So of necessity, we will have to have a series of contact groups. However, I can assure you that on more than one occasion, I have been a one-woman delegation. Believe me, I know what it feels like. When you're thinking, okay, how exactly does one go about cloning oneself? Something that none of us have yet mastered. I mean, we're all really good at multitasking, but cloning and multitasking are a long way off, and you cannot be in two rooms at the same time. So we really, really feel for small delegations. We're very pleased, and I want to take this opportunity for expressing very, very strong appreciation on the part of my government for every single government that has provided funding to ensure that a very big number of countries are able to be present. Jim has confirmed that all the countries that have requested funding are being funded. So really, I thank you. However, that very happy situation means that a lot of the delegations will be very small. So again, we're very happy and willing to work to find ways forward. One thing, one strategy that I often employed when I was a one-woman delegation, and I fully expect to be that again in the future, such as life in the tropics, is the fact that oftentimes if you can find groups of countries, usually from a region, that have are very much aligned in their positions and work very closely to have, I'm going to just for the sake of argument, use one of my neighboring countries, you know, Colombia, for example, and Peru are working very closely and we're very much aligned on many issues. I would say to Peru, okay, you cover that group because we have the same position and I'll cover this and we'll convene at the coffee break. Not ideal, but I'm just putting that as a strategy that I have personally used. We will try to avoid having many contact groups in parallel, but because of the agenda, I fear that it might be necessary to have more than one contact group meeting at the same time. So we should think ahead of how we can tackle this, because the agenda is just too broad and too big. In terms of the contact groups, as Katrina again mentioned in one of her slides, we do feel that it would be more, I want to use that word again, pragmatic, to have a single contact group that's looking at the strategic framework and the CLI as well as the regional centers. And the reason for this is because there needs to be a convergence amongst these. We cannot have a strategic framework going off in one direction and then the CLI or components of the CLI not being fully integrated. Because of the need to limit the number of contact groups, we also think that this would be very strategic and a very viable way forward. Of course, you will hear me say this many times over that week in Cartagena, I'm in your hands, but we do feel that this would be the very best way forward to be able to have that convergence and to have that contact group work. If we start the contact group and the chair of that contact group comes back and says that it would be best to work in two separate contact groups, of course we can do that, but I would really plead that we start off with one contact group. One of the things that I want to be very frank about, you will learn that from me, I put all my cards on the table, always. One of the things that I'm concerned about is means of implementation. For developing countries, which I include Colombia, obviously, this is a key issue. But I am very fearful of having discussions about means of implementation up in the air. Means of implementation, we can have a solid, a constructive, a non-polarizing discussion when we're talking about specific issues. When we're talking about means of implementation for EMS or means of implementation for tackling specific lines of waste. Very dangerous when we start talking about means of implementation just in the abstract as this principle or this something that needs to take place in the abstract. We need to ground it. When we talk about means of implementation in regards to specific issues such as those that are outlined in the CLI,
that makes that discussion grounded, and that makes that discussion more constructive, and it enables you to really ground truth and figure out what it is that countries need, what their priorities are, what their needs are, what their gaps are, and on the other hand, what opportunities there are for cooperation, not just north-south, but sometimes also south-south, is even more relevant because the technologies or the processes that have been put in place are more relevant. So we think that it would be very useful to have that discussion on means of implementation, for example, in the context of the CLI, rather than just as an abstract discussion in the context of the strategic framework. I think that this is, for me, this was a take-home lesson from CSD. And so that's something also that I want to put on the table up front very clearly as another reason why it would be useful to talk about the strategic framework and the CLI, at least for starters, in the same contact group. Another contact group that Katrina alluded to, but I want to also mention it, because some of your delegations might actually have experts who would need to be present in Cartagena for this discussion, is on ship dismantling. There was a decision in COP9 to take this forward. The OEWG has worked on this, but we need to look at the preliminary recommendations and see how we take it forward. There's a need to ensure that the parties of the Basel Convention are convinced that there's an equivalent level of control between the two. And that's something that we need to discuss as parties in COP. So we will ensure that that space is there in Cartagena. And lastly, the last issue I wanted to put on the table is that we are envisaging a draft declaration. This is something we understand particularly near and dear to the hearts of both the Secretary and many who have been with Basel for a long time. But the Colombian government would really like to see a decision come out of the COP on waste prevention, minimization, and reduction. Because we think, as I said earlier, that this is really the linchpin. If there's a clear understanding that we will do every effort, we, the international community, every effort to reduce waste to the minimum possible, then it makes sense to talk about EMS of that unavoidable waste that will be generated, and how to ensure sound management of it, and how to really ensure resource efficiency, which is in everybody's interest. So we will be working on that, and we'll be circulating tags probably, particularly through your missions here in Geneva, as you are sort of focal points for entry points into your governments for dealing with Basel issues. I think that would be basically the basic issues or the basic considerations that we wanted to share with you. But as I said, and as I will continue repeating, we are completely in your hands. And we're grateful to have the opportunity of hosting this very, very strategic COP, which we hope will really be a turning point for the convention. And we look forward to working with you at all levels, in plenary, in informals. You're very free to contact us in the months or in the weeks, I shouldn't say months anymore, in the weeks leading up to Cartagena. We're completely available, my team is available, and if you want to be in contact with us on specific issues, we're very happy to provide the details. Adriana Mendoza, whom many of you know, Adriana, maybe you can wait. Adriana from the Colombian mission here will be the focal point here in Geneva, and she will also be in Cartagena with me. She'll be part of the presidency, of the presidency's team, let's say. So also through her, you can channel any queries, recommendations, suggestions, all is welcome. So again, I thank you very much, and once again, thanks to our Indonesian presidency, to the government of Switzerland for their support with this initiative, to UNEP, to the Secretariat, and to all of you. Thank you.